This is Radio Dog Dogs.
Hey everybody, Radio Doc Dogs is back. I'm your host, Jim Z. Thanks for tuning in. Hey, it's been a great off season. I hope you had wonderful holidays and a great new year. Happy New Year to you all. And the Doc Dog season is already in full swing going. I've already been to an event this year. Holy smokes. And there's already been several events. That's the thing about Doc Dogs. There is no more off season, is there? But that's great because everyone's asking for more and more events all the time. And now they're getting out there more and more. Hopefully there's been some, or there will be some coming up in your neighborhood. Speaking of which, I'm going to just let you know of some that were recently posted over the past few weeks in case you didn't see it on the Doc Dogs calendar yourself. You can always check that out at docdogs.com. Recently posted, Four Corners Pet Expo in Durango, Colorado, June 19th and 20th. Also, the Mercer County Fair in Salina, Ohio. That's August 14th through the 16th. That'll also be some good events there. Also, Carolot, Virginia Beach, one of Doc Dog's longest running and most popular events, is April 24th through the 26th, 2015. And the Dutchess County Fair in Rhinebeck, New York, August 25th through the 30th. Also recently posted, as I go through my notes here, Friends and Family Fest, Lower City, Ohio, June 19th and 20th. And also the Cedar Rapids Freedom Festival in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, June 19th through the 21st. And also the Prado SoCal Spring Fling, that is March 20th through the 22nd at the Prado Dog Park in Chino, California. And that is a wild card event. We're going to talk about wild card events in upcoming episodes of Radio Doc Dogs, so you can learn more about that. And also recently posted Keystone Doc Dogs Winter Meltdown, March 6th through the 8th in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And the Libertyville Dog Days of Summer, July 9th through the 12th in Libertyville, Illinois. All right, let's get on with our episode. Now, I'm not starting out the new year with Radio Doc Dogs the way, not with a big flash or punch or hit or anything like that. We're going to kind of tone it down a little bit, and we're going to talk about some of the rules and rules changes that took place recently from the last Rules Committee meeting last year that all went into effect January 1st. So, you know, might be a little bit dry for you, but I think it's a great thing for people to review and look over as we kind of review these new rules that have taken place with a little more clarity, just so that you have a better understanding. This is great for veterans and new people into the world of Doc Dogs, and my conversation is with the CEO and president of Doc Dogs, Grant Reeves.
This is Radio Doc Dogs.
It's Jim Z here with the president and CEO of Doc Dogs, Grant Reeves. And Grant, hello, how are you doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. I'm excited to be here and rolling into 2015.
And it's an exciting and already super busy year for you. Heck, I've already been to a Doc Dogs event this year already.
It's crazy. We've got like more events in January than we normally have in the entire first quarter in past years. So this is going to be a really good year.
That's awesome. That's great to hear. Yeah, we've been talking a bit in the past and over the past few weeks, and you can't believe how busy it is too. So I think there's going to be a lot of events for folks this year. So everybody keep an eye on that calendar, because you never know when those are going to pop up right in your neighborhood, or maybe you want to do that big road trip like I plan on doing, hopefully.
Well, the cool thing about it is the My Doc Dogs. Now when you go and plug your information in, BK's got the help center, so it's solved a lot of the bugs and the glitches for people.
Yep.
Entering themselves in twice, don't do that. It causes more problems. If you don't get in the first time, contact the office, registration at docdogs.com. But the My Doc Dogs, if everybody sets their radius, I personally put mine at 999 miles, so yeah, within 1,000 miles of my home address, I know about all the events. It tells me about the events, which is really, really cool.
Yeah.
And I'll say this, there's a lot of events already posted for the year. A lot of the club events are finalizing their details right now. But I know for one tour that we haven't announced yet, there is 11 events already confirmed and potentially up to 19.
Wow.
So there's already 11 that we haven't put out there yet. That's with a new program or a new sponsor. And there's lots coming, so you're going to want to pay attention. There's going to be a lot of opportunity to do to attend Doc Dog sanctioned events this year.
That's cool. That's great.
A lot more than past.
Well, one of the things we want to talk about, we thought we'd start off the year by covering over some of the rules that have changed in Doc Dogs since the last Rules Committee meeting, which was in October, November last year.
We attended it in October, yeah, prior to Worlds. We had 46 or 47 of us at the Rules Committee meeting this year. It was an awesome meeting, and a lot of discussion, a lot of great suggestions put forth, and, you know, I think we're there. I mean, the rules have been changed, updated online, and it looks pretty good. I'm excited about it. There's not that many complicated rule changes, but there's a lot of good things that people need to pay attention to.
Well, I think the great thing about, and we've talked about this in the past, is that, you know, these rules, well, first of all, I'll remind folks that, you know, you should know these rules. It may seem a little tedious or arduous to look through them, but, it's going to help you. It's going to help the flow of the competition. You won't be surprised if something pops up somewhere. And remember, part of your the waiver sign when you come in and you sign a Doc Dogs indicates that you understand and have read the rules. So, they're, you know, legally, there's no reason that you should be able to say, I didn't know that was a rule. Doc Dogs people are always so friendly. They're always happy to help out. But one of the points I was trying to make was the Doc Dogs folks, the Doc Dogs community, are the ones that help make these rules. And by that Rules Committee meeting that you have, working through the affiliate clubs. So these aren't things that are just, you know, pulled out of Doc Dogs corporate here. Or Grant sits down and goes, well, I think that'd be a new good rule. It goes through a whole process.
Well, I can't reiterate it enough. There's three things that that I would like to highlight around the rules. One is, unless it relates to safety or financial, we don't overstep or override the Rules Committee. There's been the odd time where we've had system or implementation issues where we have to address it with the Rules Committee and say, oh no, that's got to be next year, we need more time. But for the most part, it's a big ship, as we've used the analogy before, and the Rules Committee steers it. So these rules are implemented by you know, a committee of your peers, and you can elect those people to represent you at Rules Committee annually and on quarterly calls by being a member of a club. And that's the bottom line. The second thing is, you know, we have an inside joke in the office, and hopefully they're not listening to this right now, but Doc Dogs people are famous for reading the first line and the last line and assuming everything in between is what they think it should be. You know, for us, I'd like to get the Doc Dogs community to a point where not just the officers, directors, and rule committee members, but the community as a whole have read the rules, understand them, and it's a matter of interpretation of the rules. Because there's always going to be, you interpret something different than I do.
Yeah.
But when you show up to an event and you say, I don't know the rules, that's really not an excuse.
Right.
You're supposed to know the rules in any sport you compete in. But for the most part, even the new people, and identify this, as you said, even if you don't know the rules, all you have to do is ask a fellow competitor or one of the Doc Dogs Worldwide members or the event crew. Somebody will help you understand and interpret that rule. But it's good to read them mostly in advance of attending an event.
I think so, too. I think it, you know, it's just a tremendous help. Like I said, it helps eliminate any surprises that may pop up. You know, you're coming into an event, maybe you're coming into the finals or something like that, and for some reason all of a sudden you're not in the finals and you don't understand why.
Well, and the nice thing is, if you read them in advance and you don't understand a rule, our social media, the mechanisms we have today, as we compared to what we used to have in the past, is you can just ask a question on your club board, the Doc Dogs board,
absolutely,
any one of these Facebook pages, and somebody's going to give you the answer that you're hoping to find. And if not at that point, they're going to reach back to the head office for interpretation, and you're going to get the answer.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'm excited. The rules are there, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, Jim, they're highlighted. Even we've gone one step further this year.
Right. I've just got onto the Doc Dogs website. And the rules are right on there, and there are highlights as far as what has changed. Again, if you're new to it and you don't have these rules memorized, or even if you already do, probably read through them all is a help. But if for a quick, brief update on what has changed, you know, everybody's different. You know, some parts I know very well, other parts I don't know as well. So these highlights are nice, but I do find myself going through and reading everything again. But if we start out, you know, just to go through some things, and I don't want to bore everybody to go through, you know, everything one by one, but at the same time, let's point out some of these. Again, they've been updated for the 2015 system, and the first highlight here is actually in blue here. It's about the newsletter and everything that everyone will be put into unless they go ahead and opt out by unsubscribing.
The reality of that is, you know, with new internet laws worldwide now, you can get inundated with spam and newsletters from all sorts. We've made it a part of our rules and policies. If you opt out, you won't get it. the downside is there's a lot of information that comes, valuable information comes through that newsletter. So in the My Doc Dogs, make sure you opt that you want the newsletter.
Right, right. You definitely want to stay in with that because you never know when, even some last minute events might pop up in your neighborhood, you wouldn't know about it.
Or last minute safety issue, or rule change, or an awards program.
Right.
Worldwide membership discount benefit. There's so many things that are going on a constant basis. Everything's constantly growing and evolving.
Yep, yep. Speaking of which, as we go through the rules here, the membership fees for the year, $55 per team. That's been put out there before. Hopefully most people got to take advantage of the sale promotion that you were doing earlier at Worlds and then before the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, $55 for an annual membership. If you've got into the discount program, which takes place every year from Worlds all the way through to December 31st, otherwise we highlight what it costs in here. And again, you want to be an active worldwide member because without that, you lose out on a lot of benefits.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
Radio Doc Dogs will be right back.
Dogs delight in being active, and it's your job to provide them with the nutritious energy sources to fuel that passion. That's why Zooks offers natural treats chock full of wholesome ingredients and antioxidant power. Made right here in the USA, no ordinary dog treats. You can count on Zooks to keep your dog happy, active, and loving life. Zooks Dog Treats. Fuel the love.
That sponsor rocks. Welcome back to the show.
You know, there's a lot of information here that covers, you know, a lot of things that are important to Doc Dogs, health and injuries and the safety of the dogs. One new highlighted implementation here is that at no time during competition can any part of the handler's body be used to propel the dog down the dock or into the pool body of water.
You want to know the discussion around that? Kind of humorous. Two things. One is we had people actually not understanding or interpreting, you know, pushing the dog with your hands,
right,
in EV or in speed retrieve. And we don't allow that at all, but now we've made it more clear. But what's even more curious is somebody actually attempted last year for an EV record at one of these smaller events, and it was, I think it was a trick dog, or maybe it was an agility dog or a disc dog or something, but they actually stood at the end of the dock, kneeled down, and let the dog jump off their back. Now, the dog wasn't successful, but hey, that changes the whole sport again. So no, now you cannot use your body and have your dog launch off of it.
Right. Well, that's a popular thing you'll see in a lot of the Frisbee dogs. Which is cool to watch. It's exciting. But yeah, that would be an unfair advantage.
That would be a whole new sport.
Right. You know, just looking through some things, you know, there are some corrections, you know, updating the world's notifications and everything. Okay, so one of the additional rules here are pointed out, just the cost for the youth handlers, you know, like half the price for adults, which is always very nice. You know, you do that for the kids. They obviously are the future of the sport.
Well, again, this is something that I set personally the precedent on financially. We talk about it at Rules Committee, but again, it's a financial issue. And for me, there's two issues. One is youth are the future of the sport. So if in my world, I would make my daughter pay to go to her stuff if she wants to do it. And, you know, she would work to achieve that. And I think that the kids should be able to afford to do it on their own. In other worlds, maybe they don't. Maybe the parents are doing it for them. But either way, it costs a lot of money to do any sport these days. So we've reduced the price. Now add the factor that we are one of the very few sports that a youth can actually compete against the parent,
mm-hmm,
either with the same dog or with a different dog. So when you've got family competition and everybody wants to compete, you got to make it affordable. So we do the best we can to keep it a family sport as well. So absolutely, the cost for youth will always be at least 50% or less.
Yeah, that's great. That's fantastic. And yeah, it's always been that way.
At world championships, it's not. It is a world championship.
Right.
We make everybody's treated equal.
Right, right. One of the other highlights, parents or guardians not allowed on the dock. Looks like that was just something to clarify.
Absolutely, yeah. We just need to clarify that.
Right. And as you scroll down a little bit more, there is the new Hero Dogs division that was actually got started a couple years back, but took a little bit of time to implement here.
Yeah, the Hero Dog division basically is dogs that are 12 years of age or older now. And as we, you know, as the sport grows, we're seeing a lot of these dogs that are 12 years or older being around to compete. So we actually have recognized them as a specialty class now. And I'm excited about that, both in whether the clubs choose to do it at their events or basically at the end of the year as a divisional award. And it's going to be great.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it, as canine science and everything gets further and further ahead, I would hope that our dogs are living longer and longer for us. I'm sure we all hope that. So this is a good look ahead towards something like that.
Hey, listen, they're the ones that laid the foundation. We definitely got to recognize them as we grow.
Right, right, right. There's some a little bit of detail here about just some details regarding the dock surface. Clarification, I think, more so, is that it's going to be 24 inches off the water surface, just like it's always been.
I put this out as a challenge to not only the officers and directors, but to the community as a whole. There's been different models run, but a dog running 30 miles an hour down the dock, flat jumping on a flat angle into the pool, without any consideration for, you know, pop or arc or anything like that. But 1 inch difference in the water surface, up or down, is 3 inches difference in the length or shortness of a jump.
Wow.
So I challenge everybody in the Dock Dogs community to constantly not barrage the event managers, whether it be an affiliate event or a national event, but to do our best to maintain the 24 inches from the dock surface to the water level, because that's one thing about continuity and consistency that I'm very, very sticky about. And it keeps all of it fair. It doesn't matter where you're competing in the world of dock dogs, that's the one thing that's fair. Not so much in EV, but in speed retrieve and in big air, absolutely has a very, very big difference.
Yeah, it's, and as you've mentioned in the past, you know, you want that consistency across all the different Dock Dogs events, because all of that data is coming in and all of those scores are being put into the system where everybody's getting ranked. And, you know, if one pool is, you know, 2 inches lower than the rest of the pools or something like that, and they're showing longer jumps or whatever the case might be, that's unfair to the people, you know, if that was a pool out west, to the people out east. And so that consistency that you're talking about is very important.
Well, and again, 24 inches from the surface, top surface of the dock, to the surface of the water. Sometimes it's really hard to maintain. I've had to take 9 inches out over a weekend because it was in a torrential rains at the 2005 Nationals. On the other side of it, between splashing and the dryness when you're out west, it just sucks the water out. So I always tell the guys, see if you can make sure you got a garden hose close by that you can, you know, top up the level and double check it. I always try to do my best when I'm running events to make sure at least in the finals it's double checked and at that level. But you can only do work with the tools that you have.
Right, right, right. Looking further down, it looks like there's some more clarifications here between groups and waves. A little bit of more of clarification is from when the clock timer starts that you get your time, which it says from the time that the team, the dog and handler, both step onto the top of the dock.
That was actually a change rather than more of a clarification. It used to be when the dog got to the top of the dock, and then some of the handicapped or more tenured people, even if you had an injury, were taking all that time to get up to the top of the stairs.
Right.
So what we've done now, and it was discussed and debated at length, it was brought forth by somebody within the Dock Dogs community through a club, and at rules committee, it was decided that when both the dog and the handler get to the top of the stairs, the clock will start. Now, there's a caveat on that. You know, don't expect to send your dog up and wait for a minute or two while your dog's up there getting all the glory. You know, the whole thing about the clock is to keep the process moving so that we can get everybody their fair opportunity on the dock. So, but now, at least if you've got an issue getting up to the surface of the dock, your time hasn't started till you're up there.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great idea, and I actually appreciate that myself. I was at an event last year, and my back was really bugging me, and I know I was slow going up the dock steps. And that time was counting against me potentially, so that's a nice thing. And we all can't move at the same pace, and as we get older, we all don't seem to run up those steps.
I want to touch base on this next one because safety is a big issue for us. It's always our number one priority, and while this was put in place more for double handling and some of the spillover in terms of the youth handling, you know, no one should stand on the top of the dock or on the stairs while the other dog is in its competition mode. I want to be very clear. If I'm an event manager, I will totally enforce this. But if it's a safety issue where somebody could, like if we've got somebody on a wheelchair competing, or we've got a dog that's skittish and is going to run down the empty staircase mm-hmm. and run out, then I'm going to override this and say, hey, you know, it's a safety issue. With that said, we've added 6-foot fences to the bottom of the stairs on the exit and the entrance stairs. So that's a big difference as well this year. So there's a lot of things that we got to pay attention to, but common sense also prevails.
Okay. Yeah, and just so anyone knows, the rule reads, no one assisting a team up to the top of the dock is permitted to stand on the dock or stairs once the competition team has safely reached the dock surface and their time has begun. So yeah, and that makes perfect sense. I mean, there's always going to be a situation where you might have to go around that a bit. the dog, you know,
especially
whatever.
In the new dogs. And I say this because you don't want new teams to be frustrated and running around the grounds and off leash. We want to do what we can to help them learn the process. And again, if you're worried about that new dog beating you because somebody stood at the top of the stairs to stop it from coming down, then I don't know, maybe Doc Dogs isn't for you.
Yeah, right. Just scrolling through some more, looks like some additional clarification here. If I go by something that, you know, you want to touch base on, by all means. Now here's something that I did notice, and I did see some mentioning on Facebook, I think, about some people not wanting to supply their social security numbers online or into your system.
Let me just cover it off very clear. You don't have to supply your social security number until you have obtained the IRS threshold of $600, I believe. It's $600, $650. I can't remember the actual quantity.
Okay.
Or a dollar amount. But it's not us that dictates that. It is the IRS. So, and we have to report through 1099s at the end of each year somebody who has achieved awards in value or cash or award value of $600 or $650 or more.
Right.
So the challenge that you have is once you reach that, you'll be shut out of the new system. People used to put it on paper and leave it with us
right.
on a W-9, which is a lot more unsecure than the SL certificates, and we've tripled that up online. So the place to put it is in your My Doc Dogs, and it's all automated now. The other benefit is you don't have to do it at every event like we used to. You do it once, it's there, you're done.
Right.
And that's the nice way to have it.
Yeah, I think so too. That paper, and you know, those, you know how Doc Dogs events are. They're, wind kicks up, storm comes in, papers get thrown around, lost, have to be duplicated, and what happened to the old one? Did it have your social security number on, let alone your address, your phone number, and all that? This is a lot more secure, I agree.
And we're going to go paperless, ultimately, in the very end. We will be as paperless as we possibly can, not only because it's cost-effective, because it's green, it's very environmentally friendly, and we're working towards minimizing our paper needs on all fronts.
Radio Doc Dogs will return after this message.
Hey everybody, before we continue on with the show, I do want to talk with you a moment about one of Doc Dog's new sponsors, Glycoflex. At Glycoflex, they love the sound of play, and when it fades due to joint discomfort, they feel our dog's pain. But for our pups, motion is a must. That's why there's Glycoflex. Patented, clinically researched ingredients put the power of play back into their lives. Glycoflex, a delicious chew, serious joint supplement, healthy, happy pups.
We are back. Radio Doc Dogs.
There's some talk here about timing. This would be under the scoring and official jump distance section here. If a team runs out of time before a jump has been completed or the dog does not jump, their jump status shall be noted as timed out. This is really for more the judges and the scorers here.
All clerical, and what you're going to see on the new Neova system on the printout sheet. So this is so you understand what the interpretation is on the actual score sheets or online results.
Okay. A little bit more as you go down to, looks like page 19. If any teams are tied in the bubble sheet for final selection, their second longest jump of the event will break the ties between the affected teams. I guess I'm not sure. I thought that always was the rule. That maybe this is a little correction?
Well, I think it was the second longest jump from the wave originally, and now we've made it from the entire event first.
Okay, and I may have just misinterpreted it wrong all these years, yeah. But I always thought it was your second longest jump from the event. I actually like that better. Now there is one of the exciting things is the rule added here about the four-tier finals.
This is an important one for people to understand and interpret. The four-tier finals will take effect as of January 1st. So anybody that competed in 2015 from October 15th to December 31st didn't have the opportunity for four-tier finals. But it has no effect on your titles and no effect on your ranking. This is an event-specific edition only. What that means is that at any events going forward, we have this new fourth tier for Big Air, and it gives more people an opportunity to be in the finals.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a great addition. While I've always fought year in and year out not to add more finals, because the next thing you know, you might as well not have just me jumping against myself because I'm in my own final. We did recognize the trend, And there's a lot of dogs that don't make the finals in that new tier that we've added. And it's called the contender tier. And it's from 13 feet to 17, 11. So it's going to be unique to watch how that plays out this year. And we've been seeing that from January 1st on at all the events.
Yeah, I think that's good.
All the national events. Sorry, I want to speak up. The clubs can elect to still do their divisional finals. But I've heard some clubs talk about switching to this national final format even at the club events because of the new contender division.
Yeah, that would bring the two almost, you know, together. Well, it depends on how many dogs you have. A lot of times you'll be at these events and you don't have a super elite jumping dog anyway, so you really don't have that division. But no, this is fantastic. A lot more people are going to be happier at the end of the events, more people sticking around for the finals, a lot more exciting finals. Still top six teams, and that's all broken down in the rules if you want to know what the measurement range zones are and the rules on page 20 of the document. Let's see. There is also a breakdown because of the finals. The contender finals payout credits has been also listed and added, which is basically the same as the pro, semi-pro, and amateurs were. So, yes, you will also get credits for that if you finish in the top three of that division.
Big change, section 4.03, competition flow for extreme vertical. This was a huge debate at rules. We've always had, you know, you have the winner gets the two personal bests. That's no longer. The winner goes until they have two misses. So, you know, take a dog that's jumped all the way up and hasn't had any misses. It now gets to keep going until it has two misses. So the personal bests basically are gone. We're going to have some pretty significant increases in the EV on all levels. Look at it another way. You've got a dog that came in, did well, has a miss, did very well and won, goes for that next attempt, and then misses on his first try. It's over. They don't get the two personal best attempts. So it's a win-win, I think, on all fronts for everybody.
So explain this a little bit more as I'm kind of going at it myself. So what about passing here? I see there's also some dictation here about when you can and can't pass or what you'd be able to do just to make sure it's clear. The team successfully grabs 7'4" and chooses to pass a 7'8". They're not allowed to go back to 7'7". That makes sense.
And yeah, you chose your height. You're stuck with it.
Right, right. So what I think that's what you were just saying. I'm just trying to reiterate. So if I went as 7'4", I passed a 7'8", my dog made a jump at 7'8", and then didn't get it at 7'8", I can't back up and go to 7'7".
No, you cannot go down, you can only go up.
So if that 7'8" miss was my first miss, I get one more attempt at 7'8", and I make it or I don't, and that's it.
The only reason to go down in Doc Dog's Extreme Vertical is in the situation of a first-place tiebreaker.
Gotcha.
And that's the only reason you can go down. It simplifies it all the way across.
And that's pretty much stayed the same, right?
Correct.
Okay, which is another round at the same height. If nobody gets it from there, then you start going down in one-inch increments.
Correct.
Okay. Let's see. As we go down further here, and I hope this is just a little information for everyone to, you know, help them along in the rules here. I know it could be a little dry sometimes.
The next big one is the actual implementation of Nitro Speed Retrieve Division. That's going to change a lot of the landscape.
Yeah, definitely. I see that added in here, and its time range is 6 seconds to 6.999.
You look under section 5.04. We voted on this in 2013, but because it was a significant change, it wasn't implemented until 2014. And again, this is similar to the contender division in Big Air. It wasn't in effect from October 15th to January 1st. Or December 31st, but from January 1st on, the Nitro division has been put in there. And again, it's an event-specific only thing that will happen. But again, at the end of the year, they'll be ranked now. So it's going to be pretty amazing to see what happens with this. I think that the whole adjustment of time is going to be pretty cool to see how many, because that's the majority of our dogs, 6 to 6.9. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, that competition or that division.
Yeah, I think so too.
Without getting into all the details, we can pick this up on another program, but I can tell you right now, this is also going to have a big factor on dueling dogs at the regional championship programs this year.
Oh, yeah. I can see that happening as well. A couple other things that are also noted in here. Club affiliate judges, how they're certified recertification.
Let me talk about that a little bit. I mean, one of the things is it's very, very hard already to get enough judges. And it's a thankless job.
Yeah.
I can't urge the committee enough to make it as easily as possible to both be certified and recertified as a judge. But more importantly, we also have to walk that line where, you know, it's a credible judge. So it's a balancing act that to get the judges in the first place, but to make sure they're credible. So if you're not already certified, I urge everybody to try, because you cannot have enough judges across the country. And we are one of the most legitimate manual judging programs out there. Without getting too much into the copycat programs, I mean, we're pretty stringent on how you should judge, mm-hmm. and you actually get measured and certified against the electronic system. Other people that claim they're a judge and just stand on the side of the pool have never done it. You can, you know, put your weight and your money where you want, but I know where I'm putting mine.
And it's not an easy thing to do. You got to kind of have the right eye, and you got to have a little bit of training on it. I'm not a judge. I tried it. I couldn't get enough right. If I tried it again, I'd probably do better. But you're right about it being a thankless job, and that's why everyone, their judges that they have in their clubs, should always be so grateful. Take care of them. Treat them the best you can. I've seen them stand out there on hot pavement, 95-degree days.
There should be two requirements. You should always feed and water your judges on a constant basis, whether you're part of the event management team or just a competitor. And the second one is you should always feed and water your judge after they're done their job, back in your tent with whatever you choose.
Yeah, yeah.
As a thankless job, that's a big thanks.
Yeah, I think so, too. All right, well, again, lots of rules. You can go to docdogs.com to pull up the PDF of the whole list of rules that has these highlights in it for you. So I encourage everyone to do that. And we're going to check back with Grant Reeves in the next episode of Radio Doc Dogs. We're going to talk about some more exciting things coming up. So for this week, that's it. I'm Jim Z, your host. And I thank you very much, Grant, for being here. And we will be talking with you again soon.
I look forward to it, Jim. Thank you. And again, Happy New Year to everybody. Looking forward to a great 2015.
This is Radio Doc Dogs.
All right, that was the president and CEO of Doc Dogs, Grant Reeves, talking about some rules with me that took effect January 1st this year, just some new things. Of course, go to the Doc Dogs website and review all the rules so that there's no surprises at upcoming events for you. Also, we're going to do an extra long episode here right now. I want to get into just a couple quick interviews that I did from the Cleveland IX Center and a Doc Dogs event that recently took place back there a couple weeks ago. Had fun talking to a few of the competitors. I just want to throw that in. Give us an extra long episode here because it's been so long since Radio Doc Dogs has been on the air. So here we go.
This is Radio Doc Dogs.
I've caught up with Sean Vrall. Sean, you're at the Cleveland IX Convention Center, the old tank factory, here in Cleveland for the Cleveland Outdoor Adventure Show. And Doc Dogs, how's it going? You're just hanging out. You don't jump a dog, though, but you're hanging.
Yeah, it's my first time at the IX Center for an event for Doc Dogs. But just like any other indoor event, you can imagine sometimes it can be loud. People doing a great job keeping it quiet here today.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, you can tell you don't hear any barking right now.
No, right, exactly.
Yeah, so, you know, the inside of this building, Jim, is so tall that I don't think the dogs even realize they're inside.
That's probably true. Yeah. And then Randy's standing over here, too. Randy Breeze. She's got Crazy Parker and the Admiral.
Yes, the Admiral.
How are they doing out here this weekend?
Well, they're doing pretty good. Nelson's putting in some good jumps, and even... Parker's still doing good for his age.
That's awesome. And I don't even think you make finals. Well, new finals format, though.
Yeah, maybe.
And
maybe
not a lot of... I mean, it's pretty well attended. I mean, there's more dogs here than I thought there would be.
I thought there would be, you know, less dogs. But yes, there are more than I thought. That's what
right.
I was trying to say.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So maybe they'll make finals. I don't know. But, you know, we're here to have a good time. And just it's about the dogs.
Right. All about the dogs, right? Okay. All right. Well, I'll see you this weekend at the poker game, Sean.
All right, Jim. Bring some cash.
One of the benefits of having a Doc Dogs event right in the hometown of Doc Dogs Worldwide is you get a lot of the Doc Dogs people out here, like Brian King. BK, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, Jim?
So you came out, you just want to see some dogs do some jumping, and you've been hanging out most part of the day here. You having fun?
Most certainly. I mean, it's great to see the Blue Buffalo Doc out
right.
Here in Cleveland. I mean, it's nice to be at the IX Center so close to home.
Yeah, it is. Sleep in your own bed and everything like that. You know, folks that have done this enough, and when they get a hometown event, they know what that's like. And so we get to rub it in a little bit here because usually I'm driving 5, 8, 10, 12 hours, whatever. But yeah, you came out just to hang out, see some dogs, see some
some of the folks you haven't seen since, well, probably last year at least.
Yeah, most certainly haven't been to an event since Worlds, and it's exciting to see everybody again and get the season started off right.
Yep, absolutely. All right, well, thanks, BK. Appreciate your time. Have fun.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
It's the Cleveland Outdoor Adventure Show, and I am here, and so is Tina McLaughlin. Hi, Tina.
Hi, Jim.
Tina was on TV the other day, kicking it with Kenny. Did you do something else, too, for TV?
Actually, I didn't do kicking it with Kenny. I did, it was called The List on Channel 5, and they do, like, little blurbs of things that are all around the city of Cleveland, and we were here for almost an hour and a half, and I got 36 seconds. Which is fine. You know, we had a good time. Ellie got to jump, and they got to see and promote the show before the show actually started.
Okay, cool. Well, there were some others for Kicking It with Kenny.
We had Linda Torson. We had Tiffany Ballow and Kristen Collinsworth.
Which is like our third time with Kenny, or is it our fourth time with Kenny?
I think it's the fourth time.
Yeah.
Kenny likes Doc Dogs.
He does. we like Kenny.
He's fun to get out and have a good time with, and Kenny likes dogs, so it's a good time to be out with Kenny.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So what do you think of the event here? It's an indoor event right here in Cleveland, close to most of the Buckeye Doc Dogs members, and we've had people come out from Pennsylvania, Indiana. Got to think where else.
We had a nice full wave for that last one. We've had a good time, and the show is really busy. I have had people tell me that they've been backed up out on Snow Road to get in here.
Yeah, I was waiting in that line.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so you know it was backed up on Snow Road.
Yeah, and then the traffic guy comes out to direct traffic, and all of a sudden 500 cars pass me to go in through parking.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, right, I was like, thanks, yeah. All right, well, anyway, that's one of the nuances sometimes of these indoor shows. Indoor shows aren't for everybody, but they it's still a good time. I mean, honestly, it's no secret. Indoor shows aren't for me either, but I get to come here and see you and Ellie.
Well, we get
Glenn.
To come out and have a good time, and you get to see a lot of people that you don't normally see.
Right.
The indoor, and we get to jump in January. I mean, how many times do you get to do that? You get to go home and sleep in your own bed and have a good time with fellow Buckeye Doc Dog members,
right,
and get out, and you're seeing some people that we haven't seen in a while too, because Zor was our last event, and now we come all the way to here, and we've got a couple of new people that are coming out and playing with their dogs, and people that I haven't seen for almost a year.
Yeah, even though it's not a Buckeye event, it's you know, it's right in our backyard here, so it feels like it, because so many of the Buckeye Doc Dog members are here and more.
Right, right, and it's good to see everybody that are out here. The dogs are jumping, the water's a little chilly, but we got a vacuum over here to clean them up and
yep,
and make sure that everybody's taking care of their dogs, and it's all been a good time so far, and we're going to be doing EV here, and the crowd has been phenomenal.
We've had
just huge crowds, so, you know, I'm just excited to see what's going to happen with EV, because they're going to really be deep to get to see the EV.
Yeah, and the Blue Buffalo Doc looks awesome in here.
Oh, well, what can I say?
It does. I like it.
It looks good. You should see the new one. The new one's going to be phenomenal.
I'll bet. How's Ellie doing, your dog, this weekend?
She did good. She's jumping between 14 and 16, which isn't bad. It's an indoor event. She's 10 years old. She's out having fun.
That's what it's about, right?
Yeah, and that's all she really cares about, is going to getting the toy and having a good time about it. But Ellie's doing fine. She, you know, for 10 years old and still being out here playing the game, I enjoy it.
Yep. Everybody, this is great to see you up there, too. So, all right, well, great. Thanks, Tina. We will talk with you later. Good luck the rest of the weekend. Have fun.
Thanks. Will do, Jim. Good luck to you.
Radio Doc Dogs. Radio Doc Dogs.
That's it. That's your episode of Radio Doc Dogs, the first one of 2015. I hope you enjoyed it. I know, once again, a little bit dry with the rules and everything like that. Don't worry. The episodes are going to get more and more exciting as we talk more and more about the year forward. And it is a big, huge Doc Dogs year. Oh, my goodness. So many events going on. It's just unbelievable. So stay tuned. We will talk with you next week, Radio Doc Dogs. Until then, I'm your host, Jim Z. Whatever you're doing this weekend with your dog, I hope you're having fun. Stay safe. Jump big. And I will see you on the dock.
Radio Doc Dogs is produced by Precise Video Productions. Copyright 2015.
Radio Doc Dogs.